Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Mako Mining, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MKO and on the OTCQX under the symbol MAKOF. Chad and I are chatting with the president and CEO, Akiba Leisman. Now, Akiba, a couple news releases that we're going to get to, but just to bring everybody up to speed, we are going to be focusing a lot on this San Albino gold project. It is in operation in northern Nicaragua. Now, the company just recently, September 14th, released an operations update from this San Albino gold mine. Now, there is some nuances here with how this mine is operating. In essence, it is cash flowing quite nicely for the company, but I do want you just to initially bring everybody up to speed on how this operation is working, because the company is pulling ore from a couple different parts on the project. You're still averaging a very high grade of over 13 grams per ton ever since the early part of May when the company really started up mining. Take us through again, Akiba, the nuance here in terms of what you are mining, please.
Sure. The plant was practically complete at the end of the first quarter, and then we had a couple of startup issues that we needed to deal with. And then on May 12th, we started to put the high grade part of the mine material through the plant exclusively. And then in July, we declared commercial production. Now, the nature of the ore body is that we have an extremely high grade, relatively narrow vein deposit. The vein itself, on average throughout our deposit, is grading approximately 17 grams, so just over a half ounce per ton material. And then there is a lower grade hanging wall and footwall on either side of that vein. We try to take as little of that vein as possible. So when we describe our vein material, we call it our diluted vein, which is the high grade vein, and then everything else that goes with it to make sure that we're optimizing our mining. That to date, that vein material to date has averaged approximately a half ounce. Now, in addition, the old timers, the last time that this was a commercial operation was in 1926, but there's been sporadic mining going back since the late 18th century. The old timers left some low grade historical dump material that on average is grading just under 3 grams. So really since July, we've been blending the high grade and the low grade material such that our blended head grade since May 12th has been just under 10 grams a ton, about a third of an ounce per ton, making this by far the highest grade open pit mine in the world.
Well, Akiba, also walk people through, there's been some optimization at the mine, really on the gravity circuit level, where it just wasn't running as much as you would like. It was mostly just due to water issues, and you've got those resolved now. And then speak to the recovery rates, because the recovery rates you're getting are fantastic, and they're in line with what the projected plan was. So walk us through that part of the optimization.
Sure. The gravity circuit itself, so the Nelson concentrator and then the intense cyanide reactor that we have to process those gravity concentrates, have basically been working fine since early May. In April, it was giving us some trouble, but since May, it's been working pretty good. The issue with the Nelson concentrator, it's that it is the specific component that requires the most amount of fresh, clean water to process the ore effectively. Now, the back end of our system, we filter and press and stack our tails dry. So our clean process water for the Nelson was coming from that tailings press. It's the most environmentally safe way of managing your tailings. And then really in July and August, we had a difficult time getting clean enough water to put through the gravity concentrator. So we had to pull in some water from the river, which is perfectly clean with some minor filtration that we go through it. The issue with bringing in water from the river is that we are dead smack in the middle of rainy season. And when you're bringing in water to the plant, you now have a positive water balance. So very quickly, you can fill up your containment ponds. It's not environmentally good to do that. So really for, I would say, a period of about 2 months, we've been running our Nelsons only at about 4 or 5 hours a day. Now, we have upgraded significantly the systems in place to press and filter our water coming out of our tails. It's been working perfectly fine for the last couple weeks. So we're now able to run our gravity concentrator really at the rated capacity of about 18 or 20 hours per day. Now, this does a few things. One, it will lower the cost of the operation, which are already low. We expect to incrementally increase our recoveries as well. We are in the oxide zone of our deposit. We had bench scale tests saying that this was going to be recovering somewhere between 94-95%. We put that out in December of 2019. Lo and behold, our recoveries have been 94.9%. So clearly our tests are coming to fruition in terms of real life plant mechanics. But now essentially the plant, at least all components of the plant are running. We're still only operating at 85% of nameplate capacity. But here's the punchline. Even though the plant is only operating at 85%, or what I would consider to be a B minus level of operations, we're still generating $3.3 million per month of mine site EBITDA. Only operating this at 85% of our 500 ton per day capacity, and lo and behold, by the end of next year, we'll have all the components in place to double that to 1,000. So it really gives the first snippet of what the true profitability of this operation would be if it is running at our full design capacity of 2023, 1,000 tons a day, and running at that level on rails. It really puts this amongst the upper echelons of profitable mines globally, at least on a per ounce basis.
Yeah, so maybe dig in just a little bit more to that statement, because if you're only operating at 85% and what you're saying is equivalent of a B minus, when you actually get the nameplate production up to 500 tons per day and then the ramp up to 1,000 tons per day, what will that roadmap look like? What kind of timeline would you put on that roughly? And what other kind of guidance would you give us as far as the ramp up to that full nameplate capacity?
Yeah, so from a fixed infrastructure perspective, it will take about $2 million to upgrade. Obviously, all of that can very easily be funded with less than a month's worth of cash flow. And then it would probably take us about 3 to 4 months to finish off the components, because most of the big ticket items are already installed over at our plant. We have crushing capacity that can handle three times the amount of crushing we need. We have two parallel 500 ton per day mills. We'll need to build some leach tanks, probably add a generator or two, and then make some minor component adjustments to the back end of the plant. So with 3 or 4 months and $2 million, we'll be able to upgrade to 1,000. The constraint on making that decision is really having another area to mine from. Right now, the mine is opening up greatly. We have three working faces. We've been averaging over 600 tons of ore per day. So we're mining more than we're able to process at 500 tons, even if we were running at 100% of nameplate. But we will need to get that at a sustainable level above 1,000. The only practical way for us to do that is to open up a true separate mining area, which in our estimation will be the Las Conchitas, soon-to-be deposit, a couple of kilometers to the south, a discovery that was made in 2011, and that we anticipate doing our infill work to have a maiden resource on that by the first half of next year, such that we can actually start mining it by the very end of 2022.
Let's talk about some of the exploration that's ongoing, because the company has a large exploration program right now. Total of 3 rigs, but I understand that will be increased to 5 rigs. It's a 60,000 meter program over about the next 12 months. You even note in that most recent news release that this exploration is all being funded through operating cash flow. We did have a news release on September 8th that outlined some high grade results from the Ares zone on the San Albino project. Some of these grades, 18.5 grams per ton gold over 5 meters, that's estimated true width. Also 1.1 meters of over 70 grams per ton gold. What updates can you give us broadly in terms of the exploration ongoing as well?
Yeah, so the Aris area is a true satellite to San Albino. It's just about 100 or so meters away from the primary west pit over at San Albino, just on the other side of our tailings storage facility. So the Aris vein is located in a secondary pit. It's part of our fully permitted San Albino mine, an area called the Central Pit. And our estimation is that we are going to start mining that sometime in Q4. So a little bit about ours, because it's kind of an interesting anecdote for the how the company operates. So we did a fairly a major resource revision at the back end of last year, which was designed such that we could get the geological model right. We can have a resource that we knew we'd be able to positively reconcile to, but there was a lot of low-hanging fruit, even within San Albino, that was left off to the side. So Aris was actually one of those zones in the central pit where we effectively just took the data that we had and then basically assigned our resource to the first 14 meters from surface. And that was it. There was actually very little ounces from the Aris area, but we knew the resource continued. We were able to chase the Aris vein to even potentially underground potential by over 700 meters of dip. And effectively, most of that was left out of the resource. What we're doing right now is doing a lot of that catch-up work that we did from last year. So some of these hits that we had over 5 meters true width of over 24 gram material that was going to be reporting to effectively the open pit over at the central pit, completely ignored from the resource. So obviously the resource is going to get bigger than what it was before over at San Albino. And we're actually going to start opening up that secondary pit over at Aris. And eventually I think there's going to be at least three and potentially four pits over at the San Albino area. The other area that we're focused on exploration is Las Conchitas. Las Conchitas, the full Las Conchitas area that we have within an internal three-dimensional model is roughly six times the size as the permitted pit area over at San Albino. We are focused right now just on the bottom one-third of Las Conchitas, the southern zone. We currently have a single rig that's operating there, one of our three that's turning now. There's going to be an additional two coming to Las Conchitas over the course of the next month. We're still waiting for them to clear customs. And the objective over there is to do two things. One is to do probably somewhere in the neighborhood of about a 40,000 meter infill program. So we can actually have a resource out there to the public market sometime in the latter part of the first half of next year. And then to start mining that zone in the back end of 2022. So Christmas time 2022. Such that we can be mining both San Albino and Las Conchitas together at over 1,000 tons per day. Now, additionally, over at Las Conchitas, those additional two rigs are going to follow up on the central and north part of the Las Conchitas area, an area that's only seen a total of 1,700 meters in aggregate since 2011 drilled, with intercepts on every single one of our deposits going over 10 grams. So there's a lot of potential even within Las Conchitas, even outside the southern district that we aim to actually have a maiden resource on. And then finally, when those two rigs are available for the first time ever, we're going to start putting in drill holes outside the San Albino and Las Conchitas area for the first time in the company's history. Now, we have done very detailed prospecting work on our properties, and we have found similar structures, similar morphology, similar geochemical attributes, very similar mineralogical attributes of vein structures that are as far away from our mine as 21 kilometers, all the way at the tippy top of our concessions, that are grading as high as 80 gram material over true widths, very similar to what we're mining right now over at San Albino. So really, if we're able to make a discovery, and we have all the confidence of our geologists that they will over the course of the next year, it really is a game changer. Not only are we going to be able to mine San Albino and Las Conchitas at 1,000 tons a day, but we really do think that we're sitting on an orogenic gold mining package over here where we can be mining at that level for generations to come.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to follow along as you get the resource estimate going next year on Las Conchitas and then get possibly two different deposits supporting the milling operation. I know that as you do some of these more greenfields exploration, you have the El Golfo target, which was a prior producing mine. But also, just circling back around one more time to the San Albino, don't you have about four different concessions there? So there's still a lot of upside still at just San Albino for people that may look at the resource and think, hey, you know, it's good, but it's not that big. There's still a lot of exploration upside just around the current mine, correct?
Well, San Albino is on a tiny postage stamp of one of our four concessions. So the entirety of the San Albino permitted pit is only about 0.6 square kilometers, about a sixth of the size even of Las Conchitas. And I guess that makes it about 1/400th the size of our overall land package. So a tiny fraction of a single percent of our land package. The the four concessions that we have are two that the company has had since 2000, one since 2009, one since 2014. The San Albino Mora concession and the El Jicaro concession, which contained that that El Golfo former mine that you referenced. And then there was two additional concessions that we picked up. One we purchased from another company at the end of 2019 called Puerto Rios, which is the direct strike extent over at San Albino. We see outcroppings on that that clearly shows the continuation of the San Albino vein on the other side of the El Jicaro River. And then we had the La Segoviana concession granted to us by the government in February of last year. And that was what I was referencing. All the way at the tippy top over La Segoviana, we're finding showings. We're actually taking the true width of the vein that's exposed and showing grades as high as 80 grams a ton over reasonable mineable widths that are basically just sitting out over over at surface. We're right now applying for drilling permits over the Puerto Rios and Segoviana concessions. It is our hope that we're going to be able to get drilling permits sometime in late October of this year, in which case we can take one of those two rigs that are coming to site over the course of the next month from Las Conchitas and then focus really on our most prospective areas of both the Puerto Rios and Segoviana concessions, as well as the stuff that's well along strike, kilometers along strike to what we have over at San Albino, but outside the region that has seen drill holes, which has only been San Albino and Las Conchitas today.
So there is a lot of growth here coming from this company in terms of the production standpoint and also all this exploration, both around some of the resources, building to resources, and testing some new areas. Let's talk about the finances of the company too, because you are cash flowing, but it was also noted in an August 30th news release that the company refinanced some short-term debt with Sailfish Royalty. It is an $8 million gold link loan. What information can you give us around here and bring us up to speed on the cash that the company still has available?
Sure. We took a $6.4 million loan in February of this year from a third-party lender called Nabari, who was fantastic. It was a great piece of paper. We did that to enhance our working capital to make sure that we can keep our exploration program going, so we never lay down the rigs. And it, in retrospect, it came at a perfect time because we actually did have a 5 weeks of serious startup issues from April to early May to make sure that the plant was actually capable of producing gold. So that was a godsend that we were able to have that working capital come into the company. So I couldn't speak highly enough for the Nabari folks in that regard. What hit me over the course of the last month is that I was actually very happy that we were able to get external third-party debt. And likewise, I was very happy that the last equity raise that we did now over a year ago came in no small part from outside sources. Mako has a controlling shareholder, Wexford Capital. They own 56% of the issued and outstanding stock of Mako. I used to work for Wexford Capital as well. They're also the controlling shareholder of Sailfish, a company that I'm also executive chairman of. Now, I was looking at the general state of affairs of the market. I was looking at what we have in front of us from exploration needs going forward. And I did not see the real value of having an external lender on our books. So I put a high premium on flexibility. So we took an $8 million gold loan. It's a finite gold loan that goes away after 24 months. Mako is required to pay Sailfish 205 ounces a month for 24 months. It's a slightly lower cost facility than we had over at Nabari, but there's all the flexibility in the world. And 100% of the use of proceeds of that $8 million went to principal repayment. So $6.4 million went to repay Nabari. The other 1.6 was to further pay down some of the Wexford debt, which now stands at $12.8 million left over. But the more important part about this is that I don't have to ask permission for anything from anyone for any reason. And that includes for doing our 60,000 meter drill program. Likewise, if there's excess debt or excess capital on the company's balance sheet, there's no reason why we can't return that to shareholders. This really is effectively as flexible as a facility can get in this type of market, when we're a company that has a lot of growth objectives in front of it, it's a very valuable attribute to have. And the important thing that you referenced, everything that we're doing right now is financed through through operating cash flow. So we're able to have all the flexibility, direct our capital to wherever we see fit, and keep the company growing as quickly as possible.
All right, Akiba, we're going to wrap it up there. A lot of information coming out of the company because there's a lot on the go. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get those answered for you, and we will follow up as more news, whether production or exploration base, hits the market to keep all of you up to date. Akiba, really appreciate this update. Thank you very much. Keep us up to date on future news, please.
Absolutely. All right, take care, guys.